Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Off the ball, GAA.
You would have associated Cork with small, nippy players. That seems to be changing now to big, nippy players.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome to Thursday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. On the way, the dire warning about Irish football's future from the FAI's academy manager. We preview tonight's European action, and as Liverpool look set to tie down two of their experienced players, the agent of another one of their stars eyes a move away from Anfield. But first, Unai Emery remains confident of progress to the semi-finals of the Champions League, despite last night's 3-1 loss away to PSG. It was a win helped by a moment of brilliance from Kvaratskhelia.
Lovely silky football from the home team.
PSG powering forward.
Ruiz, and they sweep the ball from one side to the other. Kvaratskhelia.
Kvaratskhelia. Kvaratskhelia. Wonderful.
Oh,
he's gone all the way.
Oh,
my word.
This is
a better than the 2-1. Champion League.
What a goal!
A brilliant goal!
What a goal! What a player!
While the Georgian rightly dominated the headlines from last night's game, it was an injury time strike from Nuno Mendes that leaves Villa with a mountain to climb back at Villa Park on Tuesday night. Despite that two-goal deficit and the current form of PSG, Unai Emery remains confident they can get past the French champions.
It's not changing a lot. Because with 2-1, we were thinking for the next match, playing to win. And with 3-1, still being the same. We need to win the next match. Not only for one goal, for two. But we are here and enjoying. And I am very proud of the players and of everything we are in Aston Villa, how we are developing and doing with our increase in our demands and play here against PSG, and we compete fantastic. And we were close to get good results. At the end, with this goal, still more or less the same, because we will win the next week, I believe. Villa Park is our home. Hopefully we can feel there stronger. We can get there duels getting better than today, and as well collectively try to have our moment more than we had today. But of course they are favorite, still being favorite. They show their power, they show as well their individual qualities. We need the defense to be compact, to be disciplined, to be with a lot of covers of their wingers, and we did it. But the result is not the best, it's the worst. It depends, but still 90 minutes to play, second leg, and hopefully if we can as well, in case we are standing for extra time.
PSG boss Luis Enrique shared the reasons behind their change in dynamic over the past 12 months.
From the last year, and especially this year, we changed
more or less our DNA, trying to play, trying to sign young players with a lot of quality. We have that resources, and I think it's important to try to develop our idea, not only with the young players, which is important, but also with the experienced players. And I think we are in that mix, that important mix, and with the confidence and with the enough energy to try to go through the next phase and try to make history in Paris, because it's our goal, trying to win all the trophies. And it's an ambitious goal, but at the same time, it's a motivating situation for us. And I'm very happy with the performance today, very happy with the performance the whole year, and I hope we can continue in that way.
Borussia Dortmund boss Niko Kovac says his reverting to a back four wasn't the reason for their 4-0 loss away to Barcelona. Robert Lewandowski scored twice to leave Barca on the brink of a first Champions League semi-final since 2019, having played with three at the back for wins over Mainz and Freiburg in recent weeks. Kovac surprised many by going to a flat back four last night. He claimed afterwards that a back three would have left them even more exposed to Barca's attacking trio of Lewandowski, Yamal and Rafinha. The FAI's academy director says the development of players domestically can only regress under current circumstances. Prior to Brexit, the number of Irish players aged 16 to 18 in full-time football stood at around 100 due to their ability to move to the UK. Today, that number stands at around a fifth of that. With that in mind, the FAI is looking for the government to double its spending on football from €8 million annually to €16 million. In a wide-ranging chat with OTB's Nathan Murphy, FAI Academy Director Will Clark says young footballers are in dire need of funding.
You spoke there about pre-Brexit, that there was probably somewhere in the region of 90 to 100 young players at UK clubs pre-Brexit. Now, with that not a possibility, there's 9 players in Ireland on full-time contracts in that age category, and there's a few more abroad. So we're looking at, you know, at best a fifth of what was there previously. Like, that suggests this isn't going to get any better anytime soon.
And it won't, to be honest with you. And that's obviously why we're working so hard to try and address the issue. You know, we're very, very lucky that we do actually have quite a talented crop of players coming through. But again, and it's easy to look at, I suppose, some of the players that we have coming through the 19s and the under 21s into the senior international team, and that will sustain relative success over the sort of the medium term. But from our point of view, you know, we need to make sure that we address the fundamental issue of the player pool, if you like, going forward. So we definitely can't take our eye off the ball in that regard. And ultimately, that's what our job is, you know, within the league department, obviously overseeing the League of Ireland academies, and obviously working with our colleagues in the, you know, in the football division with Shane and Mark Hannum and things like that.
It's obviously brilliant that the under-17s have qualified for a World Cup, but my memory of your presentation last year is that actually success at senior level, not particularly relevant what you do at under-17 level.
No, it's not, to be honest. So again, if you look at the correlation between success at, say, under-17 international level versus senior international success, you know, there's no, it's not the most reliable metric to use in terms of sort of trying to predict senior international success, albeit it's really, like, very important, and it's great that we have players you know, operating at that level. I think the one thing to say about the group of players that Colin had in the squad recently, and again, you know, it's the one thing that we've tried to, like, I suppose, emphasize, is that we do have so many talented like kids, and that's really what they are. They're kids in our system. They're really talented young players, again, male and female. But at the moment, you know, they're not being given the opportunity that their talent deserves. And if you look at the team that is going to go away to the World Cup in Qatar in November, 15 of those players obviously either are, well, I think there's 11 currently playing in the League of Ireland Academy system. And I think 4 would have previously before maybe moving abroad. But again, you know, we probably have 65-70% of that squad who are going to be training in, you know, a part-time environment, and they're expected to go over and compete against, you know, players who are operating within, you know, full-time environments, lots of contact hours, you know, fit-for-purpose facilities. So credit to Colin O'Brien and the staff and the players themselves, obviously, and by the way, the clubs, the League of Ireland clubs and the grassroots clubs for developing the players to get them to this level. But we really aren't giving ourselves the best chance to compete and to succeed on an international stage.
You can hear that full conversation with FAI Academy Director Will Clark elsewhere in the OTB football feed. Just as Liverpool fans begin to breathe easily about their star's contractual status, the agent of another has thrown a spanner in the works. Paul Joyce reported yesterday that Mo Salah is close to signing a new deal with Liverpool, and that news followed on the heels of Virgil van Dijk admitting progress had been made regarding his own contract talks. Despite reports to the contrary at the weekend, it's not expected Salah will take a pay cut with his new deal, but Trent Alexander-Arnold remains destined for a move to Real Madrid. And if his agent has his own way, so will Ryan Gravenberch. The Dutch midfielder has become a key member of Arne Slot's side, having been something of an afterthought under Jurgen Klopp last season. Jose Fortes has represented Gravenberch since he was a kid and told Marca that Barcelona wanted to sign the player when he was still just 16. Fortes went on to add, "He's good enough to play for Real Madrid. We'd love him to play for them, but Liverpool would ask for a lot of money. I know they've had their eye on him, but that is now impossible." Gravenberch's Liverpool deal runs until 2028, so Fortes would be correct in assuming it would take a fortune for Real to lure him to the Bernabeu in the short term. Cork City boss Tim Clancy says the injury sustained by Rory Keating is a tough one to take. He revealed the striker's ruptured his Achilles and that Keating could face anything from 6 to 9 months on the sidelines.
Yeah, look, Keating's ruptured his Achilles. A really bad one for us. He was looking sharp. He was doing extra work. It's still obviously fresh. It's only from last Friday. The scan results came back. He had a scan yesterday or Monday, I think it was, and it came back. Results came back Tuesday. So, look, it's not easy. You write your whole season off, I suppose, before the scan results come in. You're probably hopeful rather than actually expecting good news, but look, it is what it is. The injuries happen now, so next thing now is try and get Keats the surgery as soon as we can, which I think is pretty quick turnaround from the diagnosis yesterday to the operating table. I think it's going to be fairly quick, and the quicker he can get that, the quicker then he can get back into doing little bits and pieces and on the road to recovery. It's not easy, but look, it's the horrible part of football that most players experience. Look, you're not going to get back after ruptured Achilles in less than 6 to 9 months. I think that's very, very hopeful. I've done that injury myself. It's the furthest part of the body away from the heart, which pumps blood that actually repairs fibres and that. So it's probably the worst part of the body is your foot or your ankle to damage, because the healing process takes that little bit longer. So look, it's a serious injury, so it's important that we get the right treatments for Keats and start that slow recovery back.
Drogheda United midfielder Darren Markey has been crowned the SSE Airtricity Player of the Month for March. Markey beat competition from Galway United pair Moses Dyer and Killian Bruder. Don't forget, tomorrow night we'll have live commentary of the Dublin Derby clash between Shelburne and Bohemians live from Talca Park on OTB Sports Radio, which you can access via the Go Loud app. A bizarre war of words between Nemanja Matic and Andre Onana has set the tone for tonight's Europa League quarter-final meeting of Lyon and Manchester United. Matic had this to say regarding the United keeper yesterday.
I don't know, you know, to say that you need to have cover for something like that. Onana. You know, I respect everyone, but to say that, then you need to get the answer. If you are one of the worst goalkeepers in Man United history, you need to take care what you are talking. You know, if David De Gea or Peter Schmeichel or Van der Sar say that, then I will question myself. But if you are one of the statistically the worst goalkeepers in Man United modern history, then you know he needs to show that before he says. So we will see.
Onana responded on Twitter to say, "I would never be disrespectful to another club. We know tomorrow will be a difficult game against a strong opponent. We'll focus on preparing a performance to make our fans proud. At least I've lifted trophies with the greatest club in the world. Some can't say the same." And Onana's manager Ruben Amorim brushed it aside the spat in his own press conference.
"Will not matter. I think if you see the full quote of Andre Onana is quite different. The first sentence is Lyon is a very, very good team. So I think sometimes the players don't listen, or the coaches don't listen the full quote, and sometimes it's just a misunderstanding. And I know Matic also. He's a great guy. So tomorrow is going to be a normal game.
And then with Onana and Matic, you know them both really well. Onana on Sunday, it didn't seem like he was coming from a place of disrespect. He was being optimistic. He was being quite positive because this is a huge game for United, and he was just on the front foot about it. And Nemanja's obviously read it the wrong way and reacted very harshly. How will Andre be feeling hearing comments like
that? It's really hard. It's really hard to deal with that. And that is for sure. And again, if you look to all the quotes, you cannot see disrespect there. Just respect, but trying to give confidence and to show confidence in his team, especially in this year. So everybody can talk bad things about Manchester United. Sometimes our group, as a player, as a coach, as a staff, has to show some confidence in our team. So I think that's all. And again, I know really well Nemanja Matic and how good guy he is. So he hears some things by half, not the whole story. So that for me is clear in this situation.
Ange Postecoglou says Tottenham now have a huge chance to end their 17-year wait for a major trophy. Spurs are at home to Eintracht Frankfurt tonight.
I'm not sure how many times a club's been in quarterfinals of a European competition. So I think every time you get in there, you don't take it for granted, and you want to make the most of it for sure. And it's going to be a tough game tomorrow. Frankfurt, a good side, going well in the Bundesliga. They've got a mixture of some real exciting young players, but also some experience in there, and it'll be a good challenge for us. But I think when you get to the last eight of a European competition, I think, you know, that's what you expect to face, and looking forward to it.
George.
And you mentioned how long it's been since Tottenham won something. There's so much at stake for this competition, the Champions League. Now you're in the last stage. How do you go about changing the mentality of the club that winning something becomes normal, particularly this season?
Well, you know, we're still a little bit away from that. You know, it's only the quarterfinal stage, but you've got yourself to a position where, you know, you have an opportunity to progress, to the final stages. So it's just one step at a time. And the most important thing is that tomorrow night, like I said, we focus on having a strong performance at home. Make sure that, you know, we play the football that we want to play, and we've tried to play. I think we're slowly getting ourselves back into that sort of ability to maintain the levels we need to on a more consistent basis with the players we've got available. So that's got to be the focus.
Elsewhere in the Europa League tonight, Barry Ferguson's Rangers side host Athletic Bilbao at Ibrox. Those games all kick off at 8 o'clock. There's a 5:45 start in Norway, where Bodo Glimt face Lazio. In the Conference League, Chelsea also have an early start away to Legia Warsaw for the first leg of their quarterfinal. Elsewhere in that competition, Real Betis play Jagiellonia of Poland. Fiorentina are in Slovenia to face Celje, and Djurgården take on Rapid Vienna. Back to Spurs, and Manchester City are said to be keen on their fullback Destiny Adoghi. Despite spending over €200 million in January, City are set to spend big again this summer, as they look to further refresh their squad. Doggy has made just over 50 appearances for Spurs since he landed from Udinese in 2022. He's gained the admiration of City's bosses, according to Fabrizio Romano. Another option for City is Juventus fullback Andrea Cambiasso, who was first targeted in January.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.